So for this morning's exhortation, brothers and sisters, what I'd like to do is talk about the theme of resilience. And it's something that Mary and I have been talking a little bit about lately. And I hope to show you today that the Bible calls us to be resilient people. In other words, people that are tough, people that are strong. And I think of my mother-in-law, Mary's, she would have been about 5 foot nothing.
Yeah.
Lucky if she was 40, 50 kg. Anything but tough by the world standards, but a very tough lady in her faith.
Yeah.
I think of the times that she had... I think of the time that she endured in faith when her husband had passed away and she brought up children by herself. It's quite a difficult task. So that's the sort of toughness that I think we need to aim for. And it's something the Bible encourages us to be, that sort of people. So not the 6'4", 100 kg sort of men, but tough in our outlook on life, tough in our belief. And I think when I think about Romans chapter 4, there's some really nice sort of words there about Abraham. In verse 18 there, talking about Abraham and the fact that God had called him to be the father of many nations, and yet he had no seed, he had no son, no family. So verse 18 says, Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. And this is the promise, so shall thy seed be. So Abraham believed that, so shall your seed be. And he believed, despite everything was hopeless. I mean, he was getting on for 100. Yeah. And how's he going to father a child? His wife, I mean, she's 90-odd. I mean, what? That's impossible by the world standards. But Abraham believed, and so he was tough. And okay, he certainly took matters into his own hands, he and Sarah, in conceiving a seed through Hagar, with Ishmael. And so that was a blip in his faith. But overall, the Bible's estimation of Abraham was he believed, and because of that, God says, "You see that man Abraham? He believed, and therefore he is righteous." And I'm going to count him, no matter what he's done, I'm going to count him as righteous because that's the sort of man he is, that's the sort of character he is. And so down in verse 24, for us also, and so now Paul is saying, I want you to think about yourselves here, for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. So when we embrace and believe in the one who brought Jesus to life, when the conditions were equally hopeless, I mean, how does a dead man come back to life? And God said, I can do that. And Jesus believed that. And the resurrection is a fact, and we believe it. And because of that, God's going to count us as righteous if we believe. And that's one of the simple things that God asks of each of us, to just believe. That's what he wants. And of course, if you believe, then you act in faith. And that's what Romans is sort of saying in these few chapters. So back to our theme of resilience. You might have heard in the last week or so the people, maybe even yourself, complained about the hot weather. You know, in 6 months' time, maybe those same people were complaining about the cold weather. And it's just it's a human thing, isn't it? And I often think, well, you need to harden up. You know, go to your cupboard and get up one of those concrete pills and take it, because this is our life. You know, we enjoy the summer. Sure, we don't like the heat at times, but God is giving us so many blessings, and we need to sort of think about those sort of things. So in another life, I was a fitter turner, one of those guys that wore the dark blue overalls. I mean, Leo's worked at Grayson Gates. He knows what working in a factory is all about. Not many windows, very few doors, and often you stand behind a machine all day. And like with Grayson Gates, with Leo and myself, we work with steel. And steel is a very strong product. It has many, many advantages. Well, disadvantages, if you leave it outside or you go to the beach with it, it's going to rust. And within a few years, it's going to turn to powder. So you need to coat it in Grayson Gates, galvanized stuff. And there's lots of different coatings. But anyway, so God talks to us and he wants us to be resilient. And the word resilient means something that can bounce back. So if you're a resilient person, then if you have depression, you're going to bounce back from that. If you're put through a trial, you're going to go through that trial and you're going to come out of that trial with God's help a better person, because you're a resilient person. And I've got two bits of steel here, and I was thinking maybe Verity's children would be here. I mean, this one's just a bit of mild steel, and I can bend that easy. I can do anything with that, pretty much. This one here is a bit of tensile steel. It's actually a buckle, broken buckle from work. And I can do my best to bend that. I could put that over the table, and I'd probably break the table before I did anything, because it's a tensile steel. And that's the sort of thing that God wants us to be in our characters. Someone that is tough, you know, that can take things. And if we are a bit of steel, at times we do buckle, but we can straighten out again. You
know, is that one aluminium?
No, that's just that's a bit of galvanised steel. That's what Leo sort of worked with, but in pipe. So that's the sort of thing we want to be, something tough that's going to be really hard to bend.
Not easily moved.
Not easily moved, that's right. So that there out of interest has got more carbon in it. So that's the carbon content of this is higher than in that, and that's what makes it tensile, and it's a heat treatment process. But on the other hand, we're called to be in God's hands, soft and pliable. And Margaret will talk very plainly about this, that we need to be like clay in God's hands, something that God can mould and shape and make into something that he wants, and we need to allow ourselves to be like that. So towards sin, toward hard times, we need to be like that. But to be in God's hands, we need to be that clay that God can mould and make into a vessel that suits him for his glory and his honour. And there's a whole exhortation. But let's just look at one scripture in Isaiah chapter 64. Please. Some well-known words in Isaiah 64, verse 8 and 9. And Isaiah, I think, speaking on behalf of the people, he says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of your hand." And he says, "Be not wroth, very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people." And so that's Isaiah's appeal for the people. We don't want you to be angry with us, God. We want you to be the potter and we the clay. And then in chapter 65, in verse 1, God says, "I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. And I've spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people." And so that was God's overall view of the people of Israel. But Isaiah's appealing to the faithful in Israel and saying, "We just want to be the clay, God, and we want you to be the potter, that you can help us to be more and more like you in character. And please don't remember iniquity forever." And that's something we come to remember today, that God doesn't remember iniquity. He doesn't want to hold us to the fire. He wants to help us through the fire, to help us to be better people. And as far as metal goes, I haven't got any clay, but I've got this bit of metal here, and that's the sort of thing we want to be in God's hands. We want to be the soft and pliable, easy to work, and I can bend that and do anything I like with it. You know, that's a bit of lead. So that's the sort of thing we want to be in God's hands, something that God can move and shape. Okay, he can't, if our character's like that, he's not going to be able to do much, is he? Even though he's a mighty God. So that's what we're called to be. God spends our whole life working on our character, moulding and forming us closer and closer to resemble Jesus. as people, and this is a massive overstatement here, and I don't want you to take this personally, it's a massive overstatement. We are more interested generally, as humans, not people here, we're more interested in how our hair looks, you know, how our tie looks, or all these sorts of things. That's what we look like on the outside. That's what we take a lot of time doing. You know, we spend a bit of time in the mirror shaving and doing stuff to make us look what we think is right. And that's the outside stuff. And we know that the outside stuff gets harder and harder to look after as you get older, to make it look good. All right? But God is interested in what's on the inside, isn't he? He's interested in the heart. And he's working on that. He started from very early on in our lives, and he's going to carry on right through to try and make us to be better people on the inside. And that's what he's interested in. The Bible talked about Israel being a nation whose heart was of stone. And God said, no, I want that heart of flesh. I want something that's living and moving and breathing for me. I want to work with flesh to encourage and grow. I don't want stone. I don't want things like that. I want something I can work with. So toward God, our response is, here am I, send me. That's the attitude of a servant. That's something that Isaiah talks about. Whereas in discipleship, God is looking for this response. And let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. So toward God, he's looking for a response. Here am I, send me. For us as people, the sort of people God wants, he says in 2 Timothy 2, Paul says to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I mean, no one who goes to war gets tied up in the things of day-to-day life. He's committed to being a soldier. That's Paul's lesson there. So verse 2, Paul says to Timothy, you've heard many things of me among many witnesses, and I want you to commit those to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So Paul's exhortation to Timothy was to be strong. I want you to endure hardness or hardship as a good soldier. To take your share in suffering, to work with God in suffering, because suffering is something that God brings into our lives to help us. It's not to punish us, but to help us. And so there's a real paradox, as I've been sort of mentioning, in our calling. Toward God, we need to be pliable, like this bit of lead, or the clay, as the Bible lesson. We need to be able to be moved and fashioned to things around us, to sin, to hardship. We need to be harder people. We need to be resilient and tough, able to work with God, not bending and not conforming to this world. And just back in Romans, we're just coming to a conclusion now. Romans chapter 12, verse you know well. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or logical service. And verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you will have heard probably lots of studies that talk about that word conformed in verse 2. And it's this idea of squeezing something into a mould, you know, getting something and being able to poke it through that hole there, whatever size it is, and just squeezing it through. And it comes out just like that, that little sort of circle, and that's what you're making. And God says, or Paul says, don't be like that to the world. Don't let the world squeeze you through that hole. You need to be tough. You need to be strong. Okay. So to the things around us, we're called to be tough and resilient, not bending and conforming to the world. That's Romans 12. To each other, we're called to be forgiving and tolerant. And this is a wonderful exhortation of Paul. And our last scripture is in Ephesians 4. this is the paradox, you know, toward others, not to be conformed to this world, we need to be tough and hard. Toward our brothers and sisters, toward God, we need to be soft in that sense. And here it is in Ephesians 4, verse 32. Paul says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So this is the idea of our softness to each other. And not soft to sin, but soft to each other's needs and feelings. Soft to the idea that we're all in the same boat. We all have trouble. We all have struggles in our life. They're different struggles. That's true. But we all are in that same situation. We're humans. We're mortal. We're going to face these things. How we face them will be different for each of us, depending on our faith and our belief and our circumstance. But Paul says, be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted. Be forgiving. And so, again, the paradox, we just come back a few verses in verse 29. This is the hardness part we need to be. So Paul says, don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Actually, I'll read from this version a bit better. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed, so that what you say will do good to those who hear you. And do not make God's Holy Spirit sad, for the Spirit is God's mark of ownership on you, a guarantee that the day will come when God will set you free. So, Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, of passion and anger. No more shouting or insults, no more hateful feelings of any sort. And then, of course, that concluding verse, wonderful words, be kind and tender-hearted to one another and forgive one another, just as God has forgiven you through Christ. And of course, these emblems that Jeff's going to bring us to shortly remind us of that, the forgiveness that's been given to us by God through Christ.